top headlines.
All right, the Bruins taking on the Blue Jackets tonight. Columbus comes into this one winners of 7 in a row. The Bruins, though, have made a move leading up to this game, signing Ryan Donato to a 2-year entry-level deal. The Harvard product is going to play tonight, and he's going to wear number 17. Therese Bergeron, Zdeno Chara, both out tonight and Wednesday at the least. Judd Surratt, Bob Beers have the call with coverage beginning at 6:30 on the New England Honda Dealers Boston Bruins Radio Network. In the NBA, the Cavs have announced this morning that Tyronn Lue is stepping away from coaching the team for the time being. For health reasons, associate head coach Larry Drew will take over. Tough night for the Celtics in New Orleans last night. Boston falling 108-89. Anthony Davis, 34 points, 11 rebounds for the Pelicans. Celtics are back at it tomorrow when they take on the Thunder. College basketball reports out that former NBA All-Star and Memphis native Penny Hardaway has agreed to a deal to become Memphis's new head coach. And the Cowboys are hosting a couple Patriots free agents. Tackle Adrian Waddle visiting the team tonight and tomorrow. Yeah. Cam Fleming visiting. Sports Hub Headlines brought to you by WestJet Airlines. Now with low-fare daily flights from Boston to Montreal, Toronto, and Halifax.
Direct.
Book now at WestJet.com. I'm Tim McCona, Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub, your next update, 30 minutes.
98.5 The Sports Hub is Boston's home for sports. 98.5thesportshub.com is Boston's home page for sports. Add it to your bookmarks and stay in the game. Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Start of the noontime hour here on Zolak and Bertrand, picking up where we left off before those headlines on Rory McIlroy crying about the fans.
Did I say his name? Rory McIlroy? McIlroy?
McIlroy.
McIlroy.
Let's go to the expert hotline with a guy who's perfect for golf galleries because he doesn't drink. That's Hardy.
That's right. That's
Hardy,
right.
You're the perfect fan for these guys.
Hi.
For these soft, mentally weak golfers like Rory McIlroy.
God. Ooh, he's a
You're the guy.
I agree. I just want to correct the record on a couple of things. And number one, Jim Louth trying to chirp on the text last night, oh, it's been pretty quiet on the Tiger front. You know what, Jim? Honestly.
Yeah, Jim, shut up.
Because the fact is, Tiger was within one stroke of the lead in the back nine on Sunday at the Arnold Palmer. That's legit. And to Beatles' point, no, he doesn't have to win. It's better for him to be in the chase. He's legit in the hunt for a win 2 weeks in a row. This is tough for any golfer to do, especially a guy who hasn't been playing. And I think everybody recognizes it, but for the select few like Jim who don't want to acknowledge that he's on his way back and it means something, he's back. And
Marty, were you watching college basketball or were you watching golf yesterday?
Golf.
I watched the Spartans play a version of basketball.
Jim watched PC get eliminated in a rerun.
No, that's the answer. He watched basketball.
But that's not a fair question, Jim.
That's a fair question.
That's not a fair question.
That's his team.
For the 2 hours where his team was playing in the tournament?
At least he's watching a team that went there.
He went there.
Like, Jim, if you watched a Patriots game instead of Tiger, that means Tiger's not relevant? No.
No, if it's a sunny day out, Zoe's not watching golf.
I recorded the golf and went back and watched that.
Tiger's in, I'm watching.
Because the basketball was going to be over before the golf. Right. And I could catch up and then catch up, which I did.
Oh, look at that.
You just got served, Jim.
I tried calling
you too, Marty.
So napkin on your lap, Louth. You've been served. Number two, with Rory, the notion of like not selling alcohol or stopping and all that's like that's ridiculous.
Thank
but you got to give him credit where it's due. And he put on a clinic yesterday after his really ill-advised comments on Saturday. What he did on the not even the final stretch of holes, like the last 12 holes on Sunday, he played like everyone wants Tiger to be playing right now.
Yeah.
Tee to green, and it wasn't just like, oh, fairways and greens and making putts. He bombed one 374 on one of the final holes on a hole, and he didn't even need it. I mean, he was dialed in. So I want him to get the credit that he deserves for winning the tournament the way he did.
Yeah, I guess
he played well and he won, but Tiger's still the story. Do you understand that?
I guess
that's crazy.
I guess a guy who's yelling his wife's name wasn't there on Sunday.
Tiger is still destroyed. Now, the final thing about, like, being quiet, I agree. It gets taken to a degree too much in golf.
Get in the hole!
Don't act like it's the only sport. You guys are like, oh, in football? Like, oh, I'm sorry. Offense at work. You know, oh, quiet down. You see the offensive lineman quieting the crowd down. That's pretty lame, too. And I've never heard anybody make a noise when a big free throw is on the line for the home team in basketball. So there are other sports where people are quiet at times during the game. Hell, at Gillette Stadium, you could argue it's quiet all the time.
Yep.
So don't talk to me about it being like, you know, other sports are, oh, it's just a party all the time. You can't. You can't be as loud as you want at a football game. You can't be as loud as you want at a basketball game. There are certain sports. Now, golf is different. Golf is like tennis. It's not a contact sport. No, people are quiet. If people yell or say things, it's like, oh, someone said something to Rory about, oh, Rory said someone said my wife's name. Oh, get over it, you child. But there are times when it can get a little bit out of line. You've all seen people, like, have too much to drink at a ball game, right? We've all witnessed that.
Sure, always.
Okay, so imagine on a golf course where somebody has not only had too much in the way of beer, he's had too much vodka, he's had too much gin, he's had too much scotch, and oh, by the way, he's been doing it for 8 hours because he got there when the first group went off the first tee, and he's still there at the end of the day. That guy is hammered, and it's tougher to police because you've got three times as an area 10 times the size of a sporting event.
Okay, but that's a different issue. Why are we making the assumption that the guy who was yelling his wife's name was hammered? This is sort of my problem with him.
Well,
it's kind of opened it up to where he might get this more.
Because they're all just drunks. Maybe they're not. Maybe they're just sports fans who want to heckle you.
Maybe now they don't like this guy cracks and maybe we could get to him.
Like every other sport where they're had, where that happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty safe.
Who hung up
on
him?
We lost him.
That was not us.
I didn't hang up on him.
Okay,
it's good golf.
Sorry, Hardy.
His phone was breaking up.
It's good golf.
I want more of a breakdown of McIlroy's final four holes.
Listen, I would just say
golf.
That if you're going to all of a sudden blame it on, the guy was hammered. He was drinking gin and vodka all day. How do you know that? How do you know he wasn't just like any other sports fan who paid for his ticket, who wants to go and be an a-hole?
Yeah, I completely agree with you on that.
Right?
I'll say, if anything, this opens up sort of the can of worms. I'm going to open up a can on you.
And here's the other thing about the noise. Well, be quiet, quiet, offense at work, because there is a competitive advantage for the players on the team. There's a team in football that need to communicate with each other on the field.
Unless you're the Patriots and you play in a neutral site Super Bowl and they play music when you have the ball.
And call me the next time you get a football player who bitches and complains about the crowd being overserved. In fact, Tom Brady says the complete opposite about his fans going to the game. He says start drinking early, get lubed up.
Woo.
That's the difference between golf and football. Golf.
You need this guy. You need this guy like air.
Yeah, so you said it perfectly. Hardy was breaking down. He had a perfect breakdown of what McIlroy did on the last four or five holes.
I couldn't care less.
Do you know when 374-yard drive, but nobody cares.
And this will be offensive.
Nobody cares.
This will be offensive for you little golf people. Do you know when Zoe turned the TV off? When Tiger went OB, out of bounds. And he had to hit three from the tee, and he was done. With two holes left.
Who gives a bleep?
I said, that's it.
I'm now going to find it
so
easy.
Let's go. Turn on the Xbox.
To root against Rory McIlroy just for this.
I want to see McIlroy choke now.
We're done with you.
Soft. Mazbot.
We're done with these guys. We're on the course.
We're done with this guy.
We're nicknaming these new guys.
This
guy
is dead to me.
Yeah. God.
McIlroy. Hope you lose every tournament. I can't believe you won, and I hope you lose every game.
Better not bring your wife. Better not bring your wife to the Masters.
Lose them all.
Hope she's not there behind the ropes.
Zach in Medford says he's a pro golfer. Zach.
Hey, Zach.
How's it going this morning?
Good, bud.
A bit better.
So what I think the big difference between golf and some of the other sports as far as the sound and the swings and stuff is in basketball, a free throw is always a free throw. You know, you've dialed in your free throw. People can yell. They can do whatever. It's still a free throw, you know. There's in golf, if you talk to Rory, someone like that, there's a difference between hitting a ball 150 yards and 153 yards.
What's the equivalent?
I understand, you need to be quiet when you swing. What are we doing here?
What's the equivalent in basketball then of teeing off? Taking a long three?
I don't know. I just don't think there's really the same equivalent.
Of course, because you're a golfer and you're a soft golfer like the rest of them. Can't handle any noise.
Oh.
The whole sport is.
Whoa, where'd that come from? A top rope. Yeah, I don't have time for the Mazbots.
I'll give Tiger
me,
credit,
give me
though.
Phil, give me Tiger.
Tiger's thing is, as he reiterated over the weekend, say whatever you want, just don't do it during the swing. Which, if you're going to find a middle ground, that should be it.
Yeah.
If there's a level of etiquette you want in your sport, shut up during the swing. After that, have that.
You shouldn't be making noises when these guys are swinging. They need to be totally focused and honed in because it is such an art. It's
again,
so precise.
I think that's overrated too.
We're not sitting here saying
because these guys can't deal with any noise whatsoever. Yeah. The way every other athlete, professional athlete, right. does. I mean, name the sport. What other sport has you have to be complete silence?
Here's
or
what
else
it is.
You've violated the etiquette.
Here's what it is, and I figured it out.
What other sport is there? I'm legitimately asking.
Every time Brady throws.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's what it is, and I figured it out.
Where's your etiquette?
Yes. No, I figured it out.
What is it?
Because they're doing all these satellite tournaments that you're talking about, the Arnold Palmers, the Valspars, the Torrey Pines, whatever. Whatever open it is. And it's not the Masters and all that, but you know what the little Mazbots are starting to sense now? Oh, boy, we're getting more people coming out. Whoa. Where'd that crowd come from? Where'd that roar on 10 come from? Oh, Tiger's back. People are coming out of the woodwork now for him. Shoot, that makes me whittle in my diaper a little bit. You know what I mean? Now I'm not such a big boy anymore.
It's fear. It's jealousy.
It's fear.
It's all of it.
And they're trying to get ready for the Masters because it's going to be out of control. Tickets for Augusta and people in acquired them, and Hardy's going to get declined. We're going to laugh at him again for not being turned down for the Masters and the $3 pimento and the egg salad sandwiches that everybody loves to eat down there. But they will be packed following Tiger Woods around because even CBS has changed their promos and commercials. There's one golfer that they show teasing the Masters with Jim Nantz's voice. It ain't Rory McIlroy and how he finished those final four holes.
And don't forget that McIlroy said a month ago that he had a headache after having a deal with all the Tiger crowds. Gave him a headache. His head hurt.
Well, it's coming back, baby.
Headache. Yeah. Complaining about big crowds coming to their events.
Rude for everybody.
Oh, how terrible is that?
We are anti-McIlroy, guys.
We had big crowds today. That was awful.
Yeah.
That's golf. That's your sport right now if you don't have Tiger.
Sport's back,
That's
baby.
What you have. That's what you have. You have Rory out in front saying the crowds are too big and they're too drunk and they're into it a little too much. Where's their etiquette? I can't imagine that's good for your sport. I can't imagine it is.
He's going to like that big crowd when he cashes that big check.
Oh, yeah. No. The crowds
are bad.
Shut up,
Plouffe.
The big crowds and big...
Don't watch you or I get eliminated.
The big crowds and all the money they're making on those TV ratings, bad. That's bad. You don't want that.
When that purse next year is a little bit higher because of those big crowds, he's
going to
like
it. He doesn't like that. He wants small crowds. He wants fewer people on TV watching. He wants fewer people there and fewer people saying anything at all.
Give me Mickelson. Give me John Daly. Give me Tiger. Give me the old guys back.
Everybody go away, and those of you who stay, keep your mouth shut. That's how he wants his golf. Rory. Nice sport you got there, Hardy.
Goff.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It is no longer wise to ignore it.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I think we've struck a nerve, so...
Oh, with a golf guy?
Feels like we struck a nerve.
Please.
Paul in Grafton, what do you got? Paul!
Hey, B. What up,
hey.
Christine?
Hey, Jim. What's up?
Hey, you know, when you get a casual fan like Scott Zolak tuning into a golf tournament on a Sunday,
that's how big
Tiger is for this game, the PGA. There's no one that likes it, you know, more than them. I mean, you know, with the Masters coming up now, it's going to be fantastic. You know, bringing everybody back, you know, to watch these golf tournaments, which... really didn't have a really fantastic, you know, I mean, there's some stars out there, you know, on the tour, but nothing like Tiger. Ah. I mean, Scott, why'd you watch yesterday, Scott?
To see if he is really going to be serious here at making a run on Masters Sunday. And that's all I care about.
But you know what? It seems like when he talked after the tournament, when he talked to one of the reporters, he just bombed that OB. You know what I mean? On the 16 or 15, whatever it was.
Credit him for talking.
It.
Yep.
He could have played it differently, but now he's like, I think he's like, not like he doesn't care, but he's just like, dude, I'm waiting for the big ones, you know, the PGA, the Masters, the U.S. Open, the British, you know what I mean? It's so cool he's back.
Well, these are teasers for him, Paul, and what it tells you is he's really into it because you look at the emotion. There's emotion in him now. There wasn't emotion in him in the last 3 years. He was hurt. He had things going on in his head. His head is back in the game, and that's good for golf. It brings guys like me in. And I like the sport. I like playing it. You want to play 4 hours with me? Be the best 18 holes you ever play. You have a ball. I don't walk and I don't pay. Okay? And we'll have fun. We'll get a case of beer and we'll do the golf thing. Don't sit here and say I dislike the sport. I dislike the way it's gone. I don't like the robotic young kids. I don't like it. It doesn't do anything for me. It's a tune-out. None of them have a personality. Other than guys like Bubba Watson. I'll take that. I'll take that guy.
So on Thursday, after he kind of rebounded and had the good start on Thursday, Tiger moved into the favorite spot for the Masters. I can tell you, being in Las Vegas, that thing spread through a game of telephone like you wouldn't believe.
It's unreal. Just what he does.
Hey, you hear Tiger moving up to the favorite from the Masters. Hey, Tiger's
the favorite.
Tiger's a favorite. Tiger's a favorite at the Masters. We were all very much aware of that. The Tiger was the favorite now at the Masters.
Tiger's favorite at the Masters. Yep. See it?
There it is. Changes.
A couple months ago, he was 60th.
Is it really good for golf, or is it good for golf, like, in the tournaments that Tiger's in? Because are people really going to fall in love with these other guys?
No,
once Tiger's done, it's done. It's the same as it's always been.
I agree.
That's been my point from the beginning. It's just, it's Tiger. It's not golf. It's because of the Tiger effect. It's
That's
not
why
the
people
golf
fell
effect.
In love with him and Sergio. Like, those two guys were of the same age, and these two guys are going to take over the sport.
But if Sergio's in a tournament on a Sunday afternoon, you're not watching.
No, but if it's Sergio and Tiger, you're watching because it's the back and forth.
No, but my point would be this,
Jim. If it's not Tiger, you're not watching.
Don't one of these guys, one of these really good young players, whether it's McIlroy you want to give it to or it's Jordan Spieth, shouldn't one of them become the next guy?
You know what I laugh
Shouldn't
at?
One of them grab it and take it and be the next guy that people like a lot?
They don't have the personality for
No kidding, because you got Rory McIlroy crying this weekend on his way to winning a tournament, crying and whining about the fans.
You know what I laugh at, too?
Stupid? What are you doing?
And in my anti-Spieth commentary, I've got the, well, Brady plays golf with him. Do people know why Brady plays golf with Jordan Spieth? You know what Spieth wears? He wears Under Armour. That is set up through the company. Do you think Brady's going to go out of his way to play golf with Spieth? Who do you think Brady would rather play golf with? Tiger Woods or Jordan Spieth?
Why, you think Spieth is a bad guy?
I'm not saying Spieth's a bad guy, but...
What do you mean?
If Brady's going to... Because they're like, oh, Brady chooses to play golf with Spieth. Spieth wears Under Armour. They want to be seen together. This is an Under Armour thing, okay? And Brady's going to go out of his way to play time. He's going to play with guys like Jordan. Charles Barkley. You know, the entourage guys. It's an Under Armour thing when he plays with Spieth. He'd pick his force and he'd rather play probably with Tiger and Trump. You know? Let's go play Trump National. Let's have fun. Just a threesome. Just be careful. So when you think, oh yeah, so tied to Spieth.
Dustin Johnson really should be that guy, but he has some inconsistencies.
Sure.
Like he has the smoking hot wife.
Hey, accidentally fell down the steps and hurt myself the night before. Those two probably got bombed and he knocked himself out.
I mean, he's got the positive test for drugs.
Yes.
You know, he's kind of got like a bad boy thing going on there.
Yeah.
That I can root for him.
Yeah. You play the P. Diddy bad boys thing when he walks in, you know? Yeah. Yeah, he's a rootable for guy.
As much as you talk about the NBA drama, it builds up to watch the games. You want to see the drama. You want to see Westbrook play against Durant. You don't have that other thing against Tiger. It's Tiger against the course.
I want Dustin Johnson to get into like some sort of war of words with another player. That's what I really want. Like I would love I would love for Dustin Johnson
Shut up, Rory.
To come out this week and be like, Rory McIlroy's an idiot.
He's a pud.
That guy's a dope. Bring it.
I want to see everyone double fisting out in the galleries.
The problem is, though, that like Dustin Johnson had that really bad choke at the U.S. Open, which will haunt him forever.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And like that's a thing that like on the course, the other guys can hold over his head and say, well, okay, I'm gonna listen to him. Like, why don't you go choke away another U.S. Open? Why don't you do that?
Which one's
for
a big
me,
one
Dustin?
Where the greens are like cement? It's the Open, right? The U.S. Open.
I want him to come out and be like, I love cocaine. I love my smoking hot wife. And I think you're an idiot, Rory.
Yep. And you know what I want? I want every tournament to be like the Waste Management Classic. I want bounce houses when we walk in. I want sausage vendors. We want the beer trucks with the taps coming out of the side. And I want a big sign that says, get your cocktails here. Cocktails. Says it. Is he even? What is McIlroy? Is he a Brit?
David in Providence.
Is he Brit?
No, he's David. Irish.
He's Irish.
Oh, me Irish. He means.
Okay,
my God. And he said it. He said it on St. Patrick's Day.
We've already covered that. Where were you?
I didn't get the Irish Irishman sent this on St. Paddy's Day. I could care less what he is or where he's from.
You know? David, what do you think about golf?
It's a game, guys. It's just a game. Those guys aren't even playing against each other. They're playing against the course. They're not playing a sport. It's not a sport. Don't get me wrong. What they do is unbelievable, right? Being able to take the ball.
It's like NASCAR. You're same thing you're talking about NASCAR. You're racing the field, you know?
Right, exactly. I mean, they're just playing a game. You know, the best take on golf is watching that Robin Williams on Broadway and his whole take on golf. And the whole start of it was, it started from a bunch of drunk Scots trying to put a ball in a cup. You know, like, that's where this came from. And then the fact that they're whining about a little bit of noise. I mean, come on, let's be honest. One of the hardest things in sports is to stand up at the plate and hit a 95-mile-an-hour fastball, right?
I think that's the hardest thing to do in sports, yes.
Right. And you got the crowd yelling at you. What's the difference between swinging the bat and swinging a golf club? And they can't take a little bit of noise? What a bunch of pencil pushers. Honestly, guys. It's a game. It's not a sport. It's phenomenal at what they do. They've crafted and honed the skill. It's a skill set, but they're not playing against each other. They're not playing against another person. They're playing against the course.
All right, David. Thanks. It has nothing to do with Rory, though. Rory's just upset with his crowd, with his fans. Can you imagine if they did have to actually compete somehow against one another, if there was some sort of defense in golf? Rory can't handle the guy who's had too many gin and tonics.
You ever play speed golf?
No.
Speed golf's fun. You get one club, you get your cart, and you hit the ball, and you get up, and you got to run up, and it's a race to get your ball in the hole. Now, that's fun. They need to do something like that. It's like the baseball thing. What do we
like
got to do?
Like curling, where you have a total golf. Amount of time to finish the course?
Yeah.
You can take as long as you want on each shot, but you got to get done the whole course in a certain amount of time.
Yes. Love it.
Nicholas tweeted that Rory McIlroy complaining about excited fans is like baseball players who complain about bat flips. I think they're in similar categories.
Yeah.
Which one is worse?
Finally do something. It's the hardest thing to do in sports, and you don't get the chance to enjoy it or flip your bat or take a bow. It's kind of your moment.
At least if you complain about bat flips, if you're a player, you have a chance to drill a guy in the ribs the next time up. In golf, you don't have that.
At least you're mad at another player, not your own fans.
Yeah, need a good fight. Need a good golf fight. Something to break out at the clubhouse. Key someone's car or something. Still here, caddy. Fluff. Need a caddy fight. Even that was drama. Even that was good for golf. The fluff stuff, back and forth. God, miss those days. It's why you watch yesterday, because it reminds you of the past. Reminds you of what golf was. How good it was. I remember those tournaments when they would come down. It was Vijay Singh, Ernie Els, Freddie Couples, Tiger, Sergio, Seve Ballesteros, Chi-Chi. It was down. And then all these guys got old. And Tiger, because of his physical skills, he's still around. Phil, Phil's had a good year. I'd see Tiger and Phil make a run at this thing. Don't have to be in the last group, second to last group, or third group, whatever. Just be there on Sunday. Make it enjoyable. Make it watchable.
617-779-0985. You want to weigh on this, feel free. I also want to get back to what we started our day with, and that is the Patriots making a number of moves over the weekend. They are now in the business of additions instead of subtractions, at least for the time being, led by a trade they made yesterday for Cordarrelle Patterson, who's coming to New England. We'll talk about that next.
Sports Hub Headlines.
All right, speaking of the Patriots, the Cowboys are hosting a couple of Pats free agents. Tackle Adrian Waddle visiting the team tonight. And tomorrow, Cam Fleming also visiting. Patriots have acquired wide receiver and kick return specialist Cordarrelle Patterson from the Raiders. New England sending a fifth-round pick to Oakland. And
Jordan Richards visiting Dallas, too?
That would be a nice combination there. Sixth-round pick in the deal. Reports out that the Pats and Giants are among NFL teams interested in former Bills wide receiver and special teams ace Marcus Easley. Former Patriots first-round pick Dominic Easley has re-signed with the Rams on a one-year deal. And speaking of the Rams, defensive lineman Ndamukong Suh set to meet with L.A. today. Bruins are back on the ice tonight as they visit Columbus, or as they take on Columbus, I should say. Bruins made a move leading up to this game, signing Ryan Donato to a two-year entry-level deal. Harvard product is going to play tonight, wear number 17. Patrice Bergeron and Daniel Chara, meanwhile, both out tonight and Wednesday at least. Judd Surratt, Bud Beers have the call of that one right here at 6:30. In the NBA, the Cavs have announced that Tyronn Lue is stepping away from coaching the team for the time being for health reasons. Associate head coach Larry Drew is going to take over. And the Celtics are back at it tomorrow when they take on the Thunder. They are off tonight after losing to the Pelicans 108-89 last night. Sports Up headlines brought to you by Wendy's. Wendy's new 4 for $4 now has more choices than ever. I'm Tim McConnell, Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Up. Your next update, 30 minutes.
It's the joy of the hot dog.
Boom. Like, I win. Like, yeah.
But he has the ability to get skinny in the hole.
I know. I want to get it out.
Highly underrated piece of news.
Beadle and Zell.
Sports Hub host for the most.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Cordero Patterson. I always have to remind myself how to say that, Cordero, because I obviously want to look at it and say Corderell.
Or Corduroy. Little brown bear.
I want to read that name and say Corderell Patterson. But it's Cordero.
Cordero. See, it's good for me because my mom's name's Daryl. So Cordero. Hey, Cordero Patterson.
Now coming to the Patriots.
Yep. Fast kid, man. Fast kick returner.
Super speed. Great returner.
Averages over, just a tad over 30 per return.
We're going to go right ahead and call him the best kick returner in the NFL. He's been number one in the league, average-wise, yardage-wise, kick returns, 3 of the last 5 years. He was good in the other 2 years as well, just wasn't number one.
Plus, when you're hurt, you don't have to throw freaking Matthew Slater in a game to run a deep post route. Hey, guys, Slater's in the game. We're throwing a deep post at the go route. Throw this kid in. He's your fifth, sixth receiver.
But catches per season, ready?
Go ahead.
45,
yep.
33, 2 in 2015.
The 2's funny.
2. And he did play the whole year, by
dos,
the way.
Dos.
2015, that was like a Matthew Slater-like season for him.
Yeah.
Last year, 2 years ago, his final year in Minnesota, 49 catches. And last year in Oakland, he had 31. That's a depth guy. He also had a fumble problem there last year. But that's a depth
straight
receiver.
Line guy.
He is a first and foremost a special teamer. That's what he is. And now last year, they really got him to buy in on being a gunner on punts. That helps. He could probably do the same on kickoffs. He's going to be your kick returner. This guy, first and foremost, a special teamer, not a receiver. What you get out of him as a receiver, I think they should be counting as a bonus, but not to be overlooked. Not to be overlooked as a guy who's versatile and can contribute some things. I like this move. I actually like this one a lot. This and Claiborne are the two moves over the weekend that I can really get on board with.
And Jeremy Hill.
Yeah, I'm not excited about that one.
But I mean, Hill and McCourty. Those are four guys that are going to give you some results here. Because right now, who's your lead back? Is it Burkhead? You trust Burkhead to be out there and healthy? At least Hill you can hand it off to between the tackles. It's something you haven't been able to do. They're so bad on 4th and 1, 3rd and 1.
You can hand it off to Patterson, too. He averages about 10 carries a year.
Hey, when they bring your boy
10 yards a carry,
when they bring your boy Brandon Bolden.
With that end around. They run that end around now. They know who to run it
with. Jet sweep.
Not Brandon Cooks.
When they bring Brandon Bolden into a Super Bowl, and I'm saying they're not going to hand him the ball, here comes the jet sweep. Would you rather hand it to Cordero Patterson, or would you rather hand it to Brandon Cooks? Hand the ball to Patterson. This is sort of the evolution of what Green Bay had, too, with Cobb coming out of the backfield. Cobb's a much better receiver, but it's a little wrinkle you could add there, you know, in regular personnel.
I think if this puts anybody in danger, it's Philip Dorsett.
Oh, well, Kenny Britt.
Please, I hope so.
Yeah. I mean, you're right on that.
How about the game's played stat? 16, 16,
every year.
16, 16,
he's there.
16.
Every year.
He's there.
Very important stat.
He's
guy
there.
Who stays on the field. Love that.
And what if teams now sort of done that you do. They copycat you too on the pooch kick on kickoffs, trying to drop it in at the one or the goal line and force you to bring it out. And if you're going to be a good, solid special teams unit, like you have been signing all of your special teams guys back, the Brandon Kings, the Brandon Boldens, and everybody, the Nate Ebners of the world, they freaking block this thing up, put the ball in this kid's hand at the one or the goal line, and let's go. Let's get out to the 35. Every time he touches it, the ball's 30 yards out. It's also a threat there. So you better kick it out of the end zone and give us the ball to 25, or else we're returning a sucker, and he might break one. It gives you a legitimate threat other than it was really Deion Lewis prior to this. He's your only hope. You know, Deion's the only guy brought it out other than McCourty a couple years back. McCourty do that against. Is that Houston? I think so. Not sure. A couple years ago. But, yeah, they're filling needs. They're picking and choosing where they want to go. They let everybody clear the boards, and now they're going in for the kill. Picking the best of Group B. You know? Let the dust settle a little bit. Let everybody spend the money. Our guys want to go get money? Let them go get it. I just think, boy, and you see Waddle and Fleming, too, taking trips now to Dallas. That's another wrinkle here. Sign another lineman, bring him in. I mean, you add some depth there. They were almost, looks like they were ready, full well knowing Solder was going. Like, they knew the market. They don't estimate the market, but they knew somebody's going to come in and offer them. They knew Houston was hot. The second there were two other, Denver came in, then the Giants. That price goes up, and they knew they were going to tap out around 11 or 12. So any way Dallas could sign those other two guys, I'd be okay with that. I'm fine.
Do you know where the Patriots ranked last year in kickoff return yards on average?
I'd say around 25th, 26th.
30th.
30th. There you go.
Upgrade. Upgrade with this guy.
Not a punt returner, though.
No. Yeah. No, he returns kicks, not punts.
Key.
Kicks. Punts. So, yeah. I know what you're referring to. I know you want to take a shot at Tony Mazzarri.
No.
I know that's what you're trying to do right
now. No.
Because I answered a tweet that Maz had last night that this means Edelman no more returns. Well, Edelman has been out on kickoff return in years past.
Yep.
He has. Not as much as he has been on
I'm still putting
punt
back
return.
Here.
I mean,
still
he's had a handful here. Of like yeah. kickoff returns.
If he's healthy, he's going to be returning kicks along with Chung.
Not
Chung's back. They re-upped him, and they need to find one more guy. Cyrus Jones.
No, please, no.
Cyrus Jones.
God, please, no. No. He's here because of his special teams ability, and I think that he's going to be able to add a little bit of that depth receiver thing the same way Philip Dorsett did. And by the way, that's how they viewed Dorsett. We found that out at the Super Bowl. We had our suspicions, Zoe, that was the case. Mm. Do you remember which interview we talked about Philip Dorsett in?
Josh, right?
Nope.
Wasn't it Josh and,
Nope.
Chad O'Shea?
There you go.
Yeah.
Chad O'Shea. Chad O'Shea talked about him basically saying, well, yeah, we graded him out as doing a good job this year because that's all we wanted him to do. That's all we asked of him. That's all we had planned on him being.
That's a good point.
Was a down the depth chart type of guy who could give you a play maybe here or there.
That's all this kid
And we were talking about his catch that he made in the AFC Championship game.
Right.
It's a very important catch.
A deep crossing one.
He said we were great. Happy to see it because he had a good year. And we're like, did he have a good year? And he's like, well, that's all we really wanted from him.
He had to actually come back to get that ball a little bit. He had a beat coming across right to left deep, but he still had to come back and turn to get that ball.
Patterson could be that guy. Could be that depth piece that can run the end around better than Brandon Cooks like he did in the Super Bowl. Woof.
Patterson might make Slater and Dorsett both
expendable.
Could be.
I think Slater's gone, guys.
Could be.
I do.
I don't think that they're going to say.
I'm not freaking out over it.
I saw a tweet from Florio last night or whoever it was at Pro Football Talk that tweeted, well, this now looks like a see you later, Matthew Slater. Not necessarily. But I think it helps them prepare for if he does leave. If he gets a bunch of money in free agency, they can say, hey, we got a guy who's been a gunner on punts and maybe we'll work him in on kickoffs too.
They prepared to walk if the numbers come in high on Slater.
Yeah. But they made sure to get Brandon King, Brandon Bolden, and Nate Ebner back.
They're more universal on all units, though. That's different. They're interior guys. They're call guys. Slater's an outside speed guy, and when he's your best outside speed guy and you start to get up there in age and you start missing 4, 5, 6 games, now it becomes a little bit of a problem.
617-779-0985. Zolak and Bertrand talking about the Patriots. That was one of the moves this weekend, making a trade. But the other one was Adrian Claiborne. Did they get their home record? Did they get the pass rusher that Scott Zolak is desperately seeking for this team? We'll get that answer next.
Making your job suck just a little bit less.
You think they have a big hole?
I think they have a big hole.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Here on Zolak and Bertrand. I saw what was like the greatest and saddest thing all at once while I was in Vegas over the weekend.
A petty imitator?
Yep. Oh. Well, not really. Not really that.
You ever, too quick.
Do you know the pedestrian bridges in Vegas on the Strip?
Yeah.
So I was between what is now known as the Cromwell, used to be Bill's Gambling Hall back in the day, or Ivory Coast before that, and like, what else is there? Like, Bally's on the other side of the street there.
Hello, it's Bally's.
And there was a guy playing guitar who was playing Free Falling. And, you know, after it was nighttime, so we had all enjoyed the day. If you catch my drift, there was plenty of drinking
going singing,
on.
Start singing with him.
And this guy's playing Free Falling. And I'm like, well, let's stop and enjoy this. And I'm like, throw him a few bucks. Yeah. And they're like, damn, that's great and sad all at once. Yeah. But I enjoyed it. I hope it did well that night. Hope it did well. 617-779-0985. Do the Patriots have the pass rusher you want? So,
The pass rusher.
This guy fit the bill?
He helps. He's not the bill, but there's a key
bill. You wanted
bill.
Better. You wanted better.
There's a key bill, and Bill Belichick is attending NC State Pro Day today, where Bradley Chubb, the one of the few home wreckers in this draft.
What a great name.
Is having his workout. I'd take his brother, the other Chubb from Georgia Tech. I just
Nick
want
Chubb from Georgia.
Nick Chubb. That's a nice run there by Chubb. Chubb's got to get it up inside there. You know, run it right down between that A-hole and that B-hole. Right there. Chubb's up in there. What do you think about that run, Bob? That'd be fun. This guy's a home wrecker. Bradley Chubb had a hell of a combine, had a hell of a career. And supposedly he's having a hell of a pro day. Bill's there in person, about 5 feet away from him, watching him work out. That doesn't mean anything. This guy's going to be gone, top 10 picks. So, I mean, unless you're planning on using some picks to trade up.
Maybe he is.
In case he falls to around 15. See, that's the thing. And I think he's there doing his homework, and that's where he finds other guys there. I mean, this is where he found Joe Tooney. So you start to find those players. You go back. You have Vanderbilt. He likes going to Vanderbilt. He likes going to Bama. He likes going to Florida. And he likes going to this school. So there's history there. Bill will go back and work those coaches and see what else he can find there. But that's the kind of home wrecker I'm looking for. This helps because he's a true edge guy and not one of these guys. Is he off-nose guy? Is he a defensive tackle? Is he an outside end? This guy's an end. Claiborne's an end.
So
upfield end.
Is looking at Bradley Chubb at NC State for 3 years down the road when he fails somewhere else and Bill wants to pick up a former first-round pick. Is that
perfect.
What this is about today?
It's your Shelton. Yeah. It's the way, Danny Shelton. But this guy had 9.5
Patterson,
sacks on Atlanta.
I mean, Patterson did not work out as a receiver.
Right.
He has. I mean, he can give you a little something, but he's not a top receiver.
Same thing with Jason. Let's get some miles on Jason. We'll pay Devin. We'll get Jason later. Get a little trade for the Browns.
Jason's late round pick, though. Jason wasn't a high pick.
Yeah, I'll trade with the Browns. I'm not going to trade him Garoppolo, but I'll trade the other players to the Browns. You see this thing... And Jim said Shelton's talking too, Jim, right? Regarding his time with the Browns. You know who his locker mate was with the Cleveland Browns? Jamie Collins. Said Jamie informed him a lot about the Patriots in the Patriot way. That should be interesting, considering the way Jamie spoke after he was gone. A lot of guys felt free when they were gone from here. It's the environment again. Like, is the environment that bad down there? Is it that demanding? Is it that pressure-packed?
I don't know. They've answered that concern, though. They've directly tried to answer that by signing guys from the Browns and Bengals.
Let's go.
Bringing in a lot of Browns and Bengals to help matters.
Perfect's roommate.
Although I will say, the way things sort of played out in
Two
Cleveland.
Two Browns, a Bengal, and a Raider.
Oh.
All right. Snow totals are in officially.
Claiborne. Claiborne's not from a crap team.
No. But that's the thing about Claiborne. From a scheme perspective, this is Pete's upfield pass rush type guy. You know, it's a Bennett, outside edge Bennett guy. That's what Atlanta does. It's four vertical, little twist underneath. They'll bring some secondary pressure with the backer twist, but this is an upfield guy. It's not a two gap player. It's not a guy that's gonna sit there, hold the gap, wait, watch, read, and react. When Trey Flowers is at his best, what's he doing? Getting upfield. Leverage, because Trey's low, he gets up under, he's got good lift, he's got good stretch with the arms, and he gets to the pad level. Not when he's got to sit there, hold, gap, protect, let's end around, let's move our feet laterally down the line of scrimmage, pick him up, put him down. Give me a bat out of hell, it's going to go get the freaking quarterback, okay? Give me one of those. Just one. Give me just one guy that when a quarterback comes up to the line of scrimmage, he goes, oh, Jesus. Slide left. Let's go Louie. Let's reset protection. Guy's over here. It's not about the mic, it's about the edge guy. Same way the Giants kicked your ass in two Super Bowls. Those guys, upfield home wreckers.
Doesn't Claiborne scream of the Carter signing like back in, was it 2011, when he just go get the quarterback
different
and he had like 10 or 11
though.
Sacks?
Yeah, but Andre's just like so tall and looked like McGinnis but didn't play like McGinnis. But he was good. He served a purpose here. I liked Andre as a player. He was good for what they needed then. You watch him get pushed around the Super Bowl by, sorry, again, it's Philly. And Philly kicked your ass. Again, you want to stretch money inside Matthew Slater, $6 million a year? What good is a gunner when you can't force the other team to punt in a Super Bowl? You know what I mean? Let's get some defensive players.
Remember when,
before we get there, our pay our gunners.
Mark Anderson came in for a year and had a big year.
I think he had 10 sacks too, right?
Yeah.
That was like all against the Bills. Then they signed him to a monster contract.
Was it number 99? Anderson?
I think he took over 95.
I think it was 95.
Was he 95 too? Oh. A Banta Kane sob number.
Doesn't it seem like they're bringing in guys with specific, like, Claiborne's going to go get the quarterback. They struggled at that this year, right?
You're a third
down guy,
with
the big guy in the middle to stop the run. They go get Danny Shelton. They struggle with kickoff returns. They go get Cordarrelle Patterson. They're bringing in guys that have specific like roles. Like Jeremy Hill is going to be your big back.
Right.
Like specific roles. Instead of the versatile guy that can do it all, they're just bringing guys that can do one thing really well.
What they realize
I don't know
is
that Patterson fits that bill, though, because
he does one thing really well, plus he does a little bit more.
But you don't worry about that, though, with him. I mean,
your general point is right. He's here because of that one skill.
Right.
He's here because of the kickoff return ability.
Yeah.
Not because of anything else.
He's here to make that kicker think of what are we going to do here. That special teams coach on the other side when you face him every week. And it got to the point here where we're getting Trey Flowers healthy. Trey Flowers became your pass rush specialist. You need something to complement Flowers on the other side to draw attention away from him, to allow him to do his thing. When these guys would get effective, whether it was Trey Flowers this year, years prior, whether it was Chandler Jones or Ninkovich. Why was Ninkovich so successful? Because lines had the slide to the other force of the scheme, whether it was Collins and Hightower offset that way. Are they going to be rushing up in the A-gap? Do we need to squeeze things? And that created one-on-one opportunities for Ninkovich backside. And when Flowers came upon the scene 2 years ago, it was the same thing. Why do you think Alan Branch was such a huge part of this last year? He was able to suck that middle up. You know, sit there, pack it down in, but also get upfield and allow Trey Flowers to go one-on-one, Ninkovich to go one-on-one. Chris Long, when we spot you, it's one-on-one. I know you don't like the role, you don't like being spotted, but that's what it is here. Now you get a guy that you could spread apart. Now you got to pick your poison a little bit in the middle. Makes the protection just a little bit more difficult for those teams you're going to face.
617-779-0985. Sure, okay. We haven't gotten to something that we wanted to discuss today. That is Big Baby Glenn Davis over the weekend.
Another baby. Give me my chicken.
He's living big.
I'll eat some chicken. That's what happens when you stick Jays.
He's definitely got a bold move that he made. That and a tweet last night from Isaiah Thomas that caught just about every Celtics fan's attention. We'll tell you what that tweet was.
Cone's a honk, he can tell you.
And tell you the charges that Big Baby is currently facing. We'll get to that after this.